God is doing unbelievable things. He did it for Daniel, and he'll do it for you and me. Let's see how in God's Word. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor. And today, as we dive deeper into this book of Daniel and the study of how God is working in Daniel's life and how it applies to you and me today, we want you to know we're here for you. We'd love to pray with you at 866-899-WORD. That number is 866-899-9673. Or we'd be happy to connect with you online as well, tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. A great place to connect with not only more resources, but also our socials. Your socials, so are we. Let's connect online at tewonline.org. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
There's nothing more wonderful than people saying, you know, he's a jolly good chap. There's nothing more wonderful than knowing that society and the community think highly of you. But for the Christian man, God puts you and I through the test of favor. And what he watches is not our popularity rating. What he watches is what we do with our popularity. That's what God watches. Daniel found favor. Daniel was a man of God. He was different. In fact, he was someone who came from outside in. And Daniel was a man who found extreme favor in the sight of King Darius, of the Medes and the Persians. Daniel was a man who had high principles, and Daniel rose like cream to the top. He was put in charge, and he found favor. And I believe that God began to watch Daniel to see what kind of man he was going to become when he found himself at the top. Let me tell you a couple of people who rise to the top. If you are a grandfather or a grandmother, you have risen to the top. You have found favor. If you've got grandchildren, you are esteemed above all. If you're a business leader, you found favor. If you have your own business, you found favor. If you're a pastor of a church, you found favor. If you're a school teacher, you found favor. God puts us in varying positions in life, and he tells us, listen, I want you to know that you found favor, and I'm watching you. I'm watching what you're doing with the favor that you found. But he doesn't leave it there. Note the second test, the test of responsibility. You see, whenever there is favor, there is responsibility that walks hand in hand with it. Look at verse, second part of verse 2. The satraps were made accountable to them, so that the king might not suffer loss. It's called responsibility. And what God was doing to Daniel was that he was saying to him, Daniel, listen, I'm not only going to cause great favor to come upon you from the highest ruler in the land, but I'm going to accompany that favor with increased responsibility. I want to see what you're going to do with the responsibility that you've got. If we want to put it into modern day terminology, what God was saying to Daniel was, listen, favor is always accompanied by example. In other words, the higher you rise, the more God expects of you in terms of your personal responsibility. We have a far greater responsibility to do that which is well-pleasing in the sight of God. And the higher we become in society and in favor with man, we have a responsibility to please God. So I should imagine that somewhere in the scheme of things that God was looking down upon Daniel and watching him. Other people were accountable to Daniel. He was responsible before God, and God wanted to watch what he was doing with it. Let's talk about it for a minute. Perhaps you have a business tonight. You have responsibility. What are you doing with it? Perhaps you have money tonight. What are you doing with it? Perhaps you're a father or a mother tonight. What are you doing with it? How responsible are you? God's putting a test on you. He's watching you. He's trying to determine whether or not He's going to pour out increased blessings upon you. He's waiting. He's watching. There's the test of favor. There's the test of responsibility. But third, there's the test of leadership. It's right there in verse 3. The Bible says, "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." Watch how this just begins to roll. I mean, it just gathers momentum here. He finds favor. He's given responsibility. He's placed in exceptional leadership under the kingship of Darius. All of a sudden, God is putting into this man's hands the most unbelievable things one could ever imagine. God's watching. Have you ever been elected to something and spent an enormous amount of time wondering how in the world you got elected in the first place? I remember when I was in the 12th grade in high school, and in the British system, they little bit different, but when you're a senior in high school, they have people called prefects, and prefects are the top students in the school. And they are elected by the students and confirmed by the faculty. And I was in a quad A high school like we would have here, and came the election, and I was elected the deputy head prefect of my senior class, like the second in command of the whole school. And I remember going home in a daze, and I walked in and I said to my mother, "Mother, can you believe what happened to me?" And I remember that little mother of mine looking at me and saying, "Well, son, it's not a matter of fact that you got elected to a position of leadership. Perhaps God wants to see what you're going to do with it once you've got it. Perhaps God wants to see what you're going to do with it once you've got it." A year later, I was a lieutenant in the armed forces, and I had a lot of authority. Maybe, I don't know, maybe God would never have let me become a lieutenant in the armed forces had I not somewhere back there in senior high proved something, even though it might have been small and infinitesimal. Maybe God would have said, "Listen, he cannot handle these things, so I'm not going to let him go on and get a doctorate. And I'm not going to let him go on and become pastor of a church, because I cannot afford the risk of allowing a group of people to follow the leadership of a man who hasn't stood the test of leadership." Leadership. And it never stops. It's not over once we think we arrive. I'll tell you what will happen to you in that journey. Your house will burn down. You'll go through every kind of physical struggle you've ever had. You'll suffer everything from headaches to nausea. You'll become bankrupt. Everything will come against you. It will be as though the whole world begins to crumble around you, and God will stand up and say, "Hold on a minute, Daniel, I've given you favor, and I've given you responsibility, and I've given you leadership. Stand up and be counted. Stand up. Let me see what you're made of. Excuse me, Daniel. I'm looking for someone that I want to put the prophecy of the eternal age into their heart. I cannot afford to let that ride in the heart of someone who doesn't stand the test." Number 4, the test of betrayal. Oh, friends, I agonized over this. You see, right there in verse 4, the Bible says that this, The administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor intelligent. Listen to me, folks. The Bible tells us that Daniel, in the midst of all of this, suddenly found himself having to deal with the test of betrayal. It was so subtle. Here he was, a man who had found favor. Here he was, a man who carried responsibility. Here he was, a man going through the test of leadership. And in the midst of his home, there was betrayal. May I say to you, beloved friends, as a believer in Christ Jesus, you're going to stand the test of betrayal. When you stand up for righteousness and when you're a man of God and a woman of God, you're going to have to go through the test of betrayal. Sometimes your feet are going to be knocked out from under you. You don't deserve it. It's not right. It shouldn't be there, but it's going to come. Sometimes you're going to get betrayed by those whom you love most. Sometimes betrayal is going to come from the most unlikely sources. You're not going to understand it. You don't even know that it's come when it comes. But when it comes, it's going to come. And God's going to say, wait a minute. If Jesus Christ could have marched down from the Garden of Gethsemane and be kissed on the cheek by one of his own disciples who betrayed him unto the cross, the least you can do is stand the test of betrayal. The least you can do. And so it was he moved into the fifth test, which is the test of faith. Oh, I battled with this. Look at verse 5 with me. The Bible says, finally, these men said. Finally, these men said. You know what that meant? It meant they ran Daniel through the whole gamut of the test of betrayal. And when they just couldn't get it to work, finally, they said, we know exactly how we're going to get this boy. We're going to hit him right smack dab in the middle of his faith. We're going to hit him right smack dab in the middle of his faith. His faith in God. We are going to dabble in his faith in God. We're going to upset the apple cart. Have you ever met someone who gets up and leaves because of something that the preacher said? Or because of something that happened somewhere, somehow, something has come in to upset the apple cart. I've met people who for years and years have made massive detours from the faith of their founding fathers. They've gone off at right angles and they've got lost in the bush of life. And God has put them through the test of faith. And finally, they've come back. Look what happened here in verse 5. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. The test of your faith. Tell you, Satan wants to get at you. Boy, he'll get out those things and say, and you're supposed to be a Christian. Folks, when you have even moral and political issues in the community, we've got some coming up, and don't be surprised if the newspaper suddenly starts reflecting a test of faith. This is not the way Christians are supposed to behave, and how can you so call yourself a Christian? Folks, listen, it can come from every way. This way, they'll try that way, over this way, under that way. Test your faith. Sometimes you'll find yourself in a marriage relationship. And one or other of the spouse, sadly, does not have a live, living, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. And what they'll do is they'll constantly try and test your faith. But then there was the next one, which is the test of fairness. Look at verse 6 through 9. What basically happened here, as I summarize it, they were exasperated, and so they went to the king and they said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go and we're going to get Daniel exactly where we need to get him, and we are going to construct or reconstruct an old ancient Persian law that says if the king decrees that the public have to bow down and worship him, then it is written in stone and it cannot be recanted. It cannot be taken back. Once the king issues this decree and says, everyone has to bow down and worship me, he cannot take it back. And it carries with it a sentence of death. And so they failed on the test of faith, so they began to go through the test of fairness. This is unfair, folks. This is just unfair. In that Disney classic entitled The Lion King, old Scar, right at the beginning of The Lion King, says most magnificently, he says, life's not fair, for I shall never be king. How right he was and is. Who said life's fair anyway? Of course it's not fair. Of course it's not fair. Everywhere you look in life, life is not fair. Who said life is fair? Who said life is equal and fair? God didn't say that. Of course, life is not fair. But when it comes down to spiritual values, God puts us through the test of fairness. Why should this happen to me, Lord? It's not fair. I've been faithful to you. God says, well, I just wanted to see how you walked through it, that's all. Lord, I've looked after myself. I go to the fitness center and I do gyrations and gymnastics. I only drink carrot juice. I never eat fried food. I haven't had a donut in 6 years. Look at me. I'm starving. I'm wasting away. I'm the picture of health. Lord, why am I in hospital? Or maybe there's a disaster in your home, and maybe you lose a loved one, and your heart is broken, and you cry to God and you say, oh God, why did this happen to me? It's not fair. And when God looks down in the unfairness of our predicament, he says, I just want to see how you walk through the unfairness of life. But there's a seventh test. It's the test of response. Verse 10. It's how Daniel responded to the unfairness. Verse 10 is the key verse in chapter 6. Listen to it. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. The test of response. Nothing changed as far as Daniel was concerned. He was a prayer warrior when he was blessed, and he was a prayer warrior when he was cursed. He was a prayer warrior when he was up, and he was a prayer warrior when he was down. He was a prayer warrior when they were winning the war, and he was a prayer warrior when they were losing the war. He was a prayer warrior when the stock market was up, and he was a prayer warrior when the stock market was down. He was a prayer warrior when he was healthy, and he was a prayer warrior when he was sick. He was a prayer warrior when he was blessed, and he was a prayer warrior when he was not blessed. He stood the test of response. And so God put him through the test of fear. Just think about it for a moment. From verse 16 through 21, God takes this great servant and allows him to be put into the den of lions. Just think about the journey that he had undertaken. He had stood the test of favor, the test of responsibility, the test of leadership, the test of betrayal, the test of faith, the test of fairness, the test of response. And so God says, off to the lion's den with you. Can you imagine that? Do we perhaps have any idea of what the lion's den was really about? In fact, we read about it when he was released from the lion's den, about what happened to those who got put in there in his place. The Bible says the lions pounced on them and crushed their bones, ate them alive before they could do a thing. Those lions were vicious. They were part of the society in which they lived. They were the ultimate punishment weapon. They were used to absolutely crush the bones of Christians and traitors and the enemy from every walk of life. Daniel knew what was about to happen, and God allowed these people to take him, even though he had stood the test of time and said to him, "Off to the lion's den with you." I don't know, but I might have fallen on my face and said, "Lord, I cannot take any more of this. What more do you want me to do? I mean, how much more do you think I need to go through? How many more things have I got to do in order to demonstrate that I love you? Are you telling me that after all of this, you're still going to put me in the lion's den?" God said, "In you go." He stood the test of fear. You see, the Bible says that Daniel stood in the lion's den and lifted his head and heart toward God. The test of fear is a test by which the man of God and the woman of God look into the face of God and stand firm with their heads held high, with an absolute conviction that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. That's the test of fear. That means when we enter the hospital and we are diagnosed and the doctor says that it is hopeless, we are able to stand the test of fear. I had a most precious little girl this morning in our congregation come up to talk to me after the worship service, and I gave her a big hug, and she looked at me and she said, "My nose is broken." I said, "Your nose is broken?" "Uh-huh." And it was. You could see it's black and blue. And then her mother said to me, "Pastor, she has to go to the doctor tomorrow to get her nose fixed." And immediately in this daddy's heart, I knew what mama was saying to me. She was saying, "Pastor, my little girl is so afraid of going to the doctor to get her nose fixed." And so I just put my arms around her. And I said, "You know, Dr. Don broke his nose too one day. I ran into a tree on a ski slope." That's not funny, folks. And that's why I look like I do. And I said, "You know, I had to go to the doctor too. And you know, I think everything's going to be just okay." And we had a word of prayer together, and I said, "Well, the doctor's going to fix your nose tomorrow, isn't she?" And she said, "Uh-huh." Anyone here tonight got a broken nose and you're afraid? The test of fear, which is always followed by the test of faithfulness. You see, in verse 22, the Bible says that Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Here it is. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king." The test of faithfulness. May I ask a question of you and me tonight? When our time comes, we go to be with the Lord. Are other people going to stand at our funeral and say, "There's one thing you can say about this man. One thing you can say about this lady. She was faithful to the end. He was faithful to the Lord. And he wasn't ashamed of it. And when he made a mistake, he stood up and said, 'Excuse me, I'm wrong.' And when he needed to do something, he got up and he did it because God had put it in his heart. And he was faithful. He was faithful to the house of God. He was faithful to the people of God. And he was faithful to the word of God. He was found faithful. And so he passed the final test, which is the test of deliverance. And you and I can look right there in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 28. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius, and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. And so it is that God decreed that Daniel was ready to carry the seeds of time in his heart, so that people like you and me can gather around God's word, the old, old story which is ever new, and be challenged afresh in our own hearts. What a testimony. What a test. What a challenge. What a blessing.
It's exciting to watch God work. He is our master encourager. And here on The Encouraging Word, we realize that the most important step we have to take before we see God really work in our lives is just to say yes. Before we get away, these are very important thoughts coming up next from Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
Please don't let this day end without you drawing a line in the sand, because God has called you to an adjustment, a course correction. Maybe he's not. Maybe you need to just right now pray for those he is working in. But there are some right now that I know you realize things cannot stay the same. You've got to make a change. We'd love to pray you through that. Maybe put some resources in your hands, like the free Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide, that'll help you grow in your faith every single day. Help you stay the course, not just change direction, but stay in that new direction following Jesus. Give us a call. Let us put these resources in your hands at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. And one of the great resources you'll find is this grand book from Anne Graham Lotz.
In the midst of life's changes and losses, we each need a friend, a confidant, someone who will come alongside us and share every step of our journey. Someone who will listen to us, advocate for us, and comfort us. Someone we can trust. This month, for your gift of support to The Encouraging Word, we will send you the inspiring book, Jesus and Me, by Anne Graham Lotz. In Jesus and Me, Lotz draws on biblical knowledge and personal stories, including her recent cancer diagnosis, to help us understand the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Call us at 866-899-9673 to request your copy of Jesus and Me today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry, sharing God's truth around the world. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening today.
One more time, that phone number is 866-899-9673. And of course, yes, we want to provide that Jesus and Me book for you, but we also want you to know there are a number of resources absolutely free. And the most important resource, the power of prayer. We would love to pray for you.